chickens in the houses, they got chickens in the trees. Chicken in the pots, the motto of the Petaloomies. Out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Now Marvin got me started, sold me my first hen. Now I got 4 and 20, and 24 more again. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay? Chicken in the morning, it's chicken in the night. Weren't for chicken, Petaluma never would have reached its height. I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Oh, I'm out in Petaluma, spending my days. Tell me, how many eggs will a chicken lay?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB. Happy end of daylight savings. Yay. Can I get a round of applause? Yes. Natural light. I love natural light. That happened. That happened today. And it's lovely. And the rain was lovely, too. We have two guests today, two topics. But before, what did I want to talk? Oh, I went to the B.R. Cone Extra Virgin Olive Oil Festival yesterday and today. It was a nice affair, revived after, I think the last one was in about 96. So it went on for 3 or 4 years, and then they just revived it today. And it was very sweet. It was very sweet. It takes place over a pretty big area at B.R. Cone. So you never have a sense of a lot of crowds. Sold some books, which is always nice. Made one mistake. Yesterday, there were three food trucks, and one of them was a Maine lobster truck. Do y'all know about that? It says Maine lobster truck, and they had Connecticut lobster rolls, Maine lobster rolls, lobster tacos, and a couple of other things. And I thought about it, and it's like, well, I have to sell a certain number of books before I can have a lobster roll. So I was going to have a lobster roll today. The truck was only there yesterday. Now I'm going to have to wait until I go to New York, because that's about the only time I ever have a lobster roll done at Pearl Oyster Bar on Cornelius. Oh, my God, their oyster rolls are so good. The ones at Grand Central's Oyster Bar are pretty good, too, but I wanted to try one here, so I didn't have to take a plane. Anyway, congratulations to B.R. Cone and all the hard work they put into that. And maybe it will go on next year. We hope so. And then I want to tell you, coming up November 11th and 12th, that's this Friday and Saturday, Mouthful friend John Ash is having a special dinner. I think it's celebrating his book, Cooking in the Wild. Think that's it. And guess what it's going to be? At John Ash and Company, his namesake restaurant. So that's happening. I think November 11th is sold out. And last I heard, there were still tickets for the November 12th dinner. And I'm going to be there. So if you go, tell me hi. Now, we're going to talk about a new business, Three Leaves Heritage Foods, which opened recently under new ownership, our friend Rog Hogenkamp. But first, because that's an ongoing endeavor, we're going to talk about the book fair, West Sonoma Book Fair, coming up on Thursday, November 10th, one of what I hope will be many reasons to get out of bed after November 8th. It's a multifaceted book fair, and it's not like some people, when I tell them this is happening, think back to the Sonoma County Book Fair that took place in a lot of venues in downtown Santa Rosa, in the square. There were lots and lots of vendors. This is not that sort of thing. It is just a chance to buy books from local authors. There are currently 27 local authors signed up, along with 10 poets. We will have a poet's table, so you'll get to see all of the poetry books together. And then we have everything from coloring books to adults. I think there's two different authors who have done books on tarot cards. There are cookbook authors, nonfiction writers, fiction writers. In addition, to make it really fun, you are encouraged to dress as a favorite author, and there will be a prize. And the prize will be a gift certificate from the longest running locally owned women's clothing store. And they do have some menswear dressers. Started out as Threadbare Kid in Cotati. It's now Dressers in Sebastopol. They will be giving a gift certificate for best costume. And then each author gets half of a table, gets a 4-foot piece of an 8-foot table. We are encouraging our authors to decorate their table. And there will be a People's Choice Award. And because it's about decor, Cultivate Home, the cookware store and home decor, cookware and home decor store in Sebastopol, they're giving a gift certificate for that prize. They will also be on hand. They're doing a display of some of their holiday fun things and useful tools, but they'll also be selling gift cards, and they'll be wrapping, if you're Christmas shopping, they will wrap your books right on the spot for you. So that is Cultivate Home, and they'll be charging something for gift wrapping, but not a lot. There will be a raffle. Each author has volunteered to donate a book, so we're putting together, I think, 5 different raffle packages, so you can buy raffle tickets throughout the day. And then there is wine and hot cider at no charge. We are just giving that to you. And then we will have a polenta bar. And the polenta bar will be $5 donation for a bowl of polenta and your choice of toppings. And a lot of restaurants in West County, and also our guests this evening from Three Leaves, they will be making various toppings. So there'll probably be at least 6 toppings, along with some Olio Nuovo, that's new olive oil from the 2016 harvest, and some Italian-style salsa verde, which I always have to have with polenta. So it's taking place this Thursday. It is at the Sebastopol Grange. That is on Highway 12, just east of downtown Sebastopol. Admission is free. There will be readings on the stage. We're not going to have readings that are amplified, because we want customers to be able to chat individually with different authors and get their book signed. And when you have something that's amplified throughout the entire room, commerce tends to stop. So we're having a nice, cushy area on the stage where there will be chairs with the author facing into the stage rather than out of the stage, where and we'll have every 10 minutes there will be a new brief reading by whatever authors want to sign up to do that. So it should be really fun. A great way to spend money locally, to do some early holiday shopping. And one of the authors who will be there is a guest this evening who's returning for I don't know how many times. Stephanie Rosenbaum-Klassen, welcome again to Mouthful.
Thank you, Michelle. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm so glad. I love that you put on lipstick just before you went on mic. You are my kind of radio guest.
Rest for the radio.
And what books are you going to have there?
Oh, gosh, I am definitely going to have my latest book, which is The Art of Vintage Cocktails.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful gift.
I want to give that book to Rachel Maddow for Christmas.
Oh, yes. Please.
Let's send her a copy.
We can give a big smooch. We can put a big lip print.
There we go.
One. Thank you. But yes, definitely. So The Art of Vintage Cocktails, which just like it says, is a wonderful little gifty book that gives you all kinds of recipes and the backstory. Mm-hmm. The true backstory, not just the thing you've heard in a bar,
right.
Of all these wonderful, wonderful cocktails from pre-prohibition probably till about the onset of vodka, which comes on in about the 50s.
Okay.
And I'll also have probably The World of Donuts, which is my global donut.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely have, because this is Sebastopol, I will definitely have the astrology.
Great. I was hoping you would have, yes, Sebastopol.
I have a lot of copies of the astrology cookbook, which is, star-kissed recipes for your kitchen. Lots of what to cook for your loved ones and what they can cook for you, depending on their sign. And then I'll just have to dig back into the archives and see what else I have.
Your honey book?
Hopefully I'll have some copies of the honey book, Honey from Flower to Table, possibly my kids' cookbook, Fun Food.
Now, that one isn't one I've never seen.
Oh, that was done for Williams-Sonoma, and it was a really fun, as you might expect, book for kids, geared towards kids in the kitchen, about 9 to 12 year olds, and it's really made for kids to do it themselves, with adults on hand to do the hot stuff.
Sure.
But it does all kinds of everything, and it's not just, hey, put a smiley face on your English muffin
pizza.
Thank you.
It's
not like make something with bacon, with nut bacon, bacon, yay. But not just make things with biscuit mix. It's,
right.
Actual
cooking.
Making pad thai, making chicken soup, making, things for your family that the whole family can enjoy.
I just saw a kid's book. I saw it in a sort of semi-embarrassing way. Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions.
Sure.
Did you know that she has a kid's version?
No, but it must be wonderful.
Well, my ex-husband, long ago, he had some stents put in, and he really needs to pay attention to his diet.
Sure.
And so I had him sent Sally Fallon's Nourishing Broth book and what I thought was the Nourishing Traditions book, because it would be perfect. And, he's kind of a cranky guy, and my daughter got up to see him, and he gave her the two books and said, "I don't want these." And she brought them back, and I looked at one, and it was Nourishing Traditions for Kids. And I don't know if Amazon sent the wrong book, or if I didn't realize there was an option.
Newest book, right?
Yeah, and so it was great, because I got to send him a note saying, "Well, I'm not sure why you sent these back, but if it's because you thought I sent you a children's book and that insulted your intelligence, I apologize."
But the thing about that, about sometimes kids' books, like that are well-written kids' cookbooks, is they're really good for beginning cooks.
Yes.
No matter what age, because I had a lot of my friends who looked at the book and they sort of wanted the Harry Potter edition with the adult cover. Mm-hmm. They were like, could you rename this something? Beginning cooks or start in the kitchen? Because they're like, I would make all these things.
Absolutely. And the reason I mentioned this Nourishing Traditions book, it's highly visual, but with, I think they're watercolors, and they're very nice.
Oh, that's great.
Very nice, and it's not dumbed down.
Right.
It's just easy. And there are things like making sauerkraut at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's real food. I gave it to this little boy whose father is a fabulous cook, my little friend Kamal, who had just turned 4, and, he's got an ice cream parlor in his bedroom, whatever he has that he thinks he's making ice cream with, and he loves to cook with his dad. So I pass that book on to him. But you might want to, it's a good book, and it's a great book for beginning cooks. And if you write cookbooks, you have a lot of people coming and telling you, "I can't cook, but I want to learn."
Yeah, it's kind of stunning. But people often, one thing I had to do was think how do I cut a carrot? What's the easiest, most straightforward way to cut a carrot? Do I have to brown these meatballs, or can I just poach them in the sauce?
Or is cutting a carrot too hard for somebody who's terrified of cooking,
right.
And if so, what can I have them
what
do
can
instead?
I have them do instead? Can I get them pre-cut carrots or baby carrots or pre-shredded carrots?
Or can I just have them make an omelet and talk about carrots in another chapter?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that will be great. And have you started thinking about your booth decor yet?
I am now all of a sudden I feel like, wow, I really can't just throw a tablecloth on there. I might run with the astrology theme,
How fun.
I could do that and see, do I have a crystal ball around? Do I have, some planets? I might have to run with the astrology theme, or I might have to run with the cocktail theme,
Both have great yeah. great possibilities.
I'm not mm-hmm. saying I'm going to be pouring cocktails, but there I might have some gear, shall
some
we say.
Gear. That's great.
I've got some nice cocktail glasses and shakers, so gear. we might have some vintage cocktail paraphernalia.
That's good. Did you watch Rachel Maddow last Friday night?
No. Did she have a good cocktail?
She did a cocktail moment. She hasn't been doing them a lot lately.
Right.
But she did, and it was called An Old Pal.
Oh, I don't know that one.
It was rye whiskey. I think she really likes rye whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Rye whiskey, Campari. Oh, gosh, what was the... And there's just one. Oh.
Something sweet?
Dry vermouth.
Oh, dry vermouth.
Dry vermouth.
Oh, okay. That's a grown-up drink.
Yeah, yeah, shaken over ice and poured into, you know, almost a martini glass.
Ah, well, you know, I have to do a shout-out for a local company who makes a wonderful rye,
uh-huh.
which is Spirit Works Distillery.
Yes.
They're you know, grain to glass. They're right in Sebastopol, mm-hmm. A small business, yeah, a family business.
And I've tried some of their spirits.
Ooh, they're and I worked for them last summer.
Oh, I remember.
And anyway, so I got to see how they were making their rye and how they're making their whiskey, and everything happens right behind a big glass window, so mm-hmm. you can like actually
see them in the bar low.
You can see them in the bar low doing everything, and their rye is fantastic. Mm. Really, really, really good.
How do you like it?
You know, theirs I would just drink, you know, with a little water. I would I would pretty much drink theirs neat because it's so good.
Uh-huh.
But they also make a wheat whiskey.
Right.
That's actually really mm-hmm. good for cocktails because it's a little more blendable.
Uh-huh. Cool. I've got to go visit them. I actually want to have them on Mouthful sometime soon.
Oh, definitely. They're really cool people.
Yeah, and we've got we have some other distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
That are happening. So
definitely, it's an exciting time for the spirits and the beverage industry in Sonoma.
Yeah, just the beverages in general, and mm-hmm. definitely spirits and cider.
Yeah, definitely wonderful hard ciders going on around here, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so we're going to take an appropriate musical break, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about Three Leaves. Elvis Costello with the story of my life. Every day I write the book, or almost every day. Okay, Stephanie, I want you to just jump into this conversation however you like. Rob, I'm not sure when we first met, but I know that the last time I saw you was when you so nicely brought over this big container of freshly made chicken soup when I had just had the flu forever. So thank you again for that.
You're welcome.
And that was when you were working at Ceres Community Project.
Exactly.
And then you went on to work at the new hospital, and we want to hear a little bit about that before the show ends. But tell us about the new project.
So I will back up to so I worked for Ceres Community Project for about 5 years, and I really got into that was my segue in life into cooking healthier and healthier food and seeing food as medicine.
Had you been a chef prior to that?
I've been a chef, yeah. Uh-huh. I've mostly just worked in kitchens all my life since I was about 15, so that's my whole career path. Kind of led up to that point, and I also really enjoyed working with young people, so that was kind of the perfect job for me at the time. And I did that for 5 years, and then I heard that the Sebastopol Hospital was going to reopen as Sonoma West Medical Center, and so I went to the board of directors, and I said, this is a great opportunity to really change hospital food.
Absolutely.
And let's do it right, and let's, you know, support local farmers, and let's make sure the staff is well fed and that we have like a kind of a community center around food with the hospital, which is kind of unheard of. So I did that, and I went to work for them back in March of last year and kind of redesigned the kitchen to make it more user friendly and designed a menu that was healthy and opened up for lunch every day for the public and the staff. And that was going pretty well, and then, you know, the hospital is still struggling a little bit financially, and they hired a management company that kind of didn't see how the food...
Oh, they hired a management. There you go. Management companies ruin everything.
I think they're doing a pretty good job of helping the hospital stay afloat. Not to say anything bad about them, but, you know, what I was doing with the staff and the community and with the patients really didn't translate to the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And so that was, they made a lot of big cuts back in July, and I was one of those 25 people laid off. And
we really need a paradigm shift in hospital food, and we have the knowledge.
And I thought Sebastopol was a good place to make that happen.
Is.
But
it is.
You know, and then they say everything happens for a reason, and 3 days after my layoff, I was contacted by the owner of a local company called Three Leaves Foods, and she said, hey, you might want to check this out for your next adventure. And I had happened to move 3 weeks before. I moved about less than a mile away from that location,
and this is on Fulton Road,
and it's on Fulton and 3rd in the Big Oak Shopping Center,
right?
So I live right down the street at Fulton and College, and so I went and met with her, and I took a good long 7-8 weeks to deliberate and make sure it was the right decision, because buying a business is pretty huge. And
sure.
And the more time I spent there, the more I felt at home in that kitchen and with their clientele. So a little bit about that business is it's a community supported kitchen, and the reason it's called that and designed that way is that people really in this county, especially, really like to eat farm fresh food. But not everybody has time to go to the farms or even the farmer's market and even prepare it once they get home. And so this does all that for you, cooks everything, cleans the pots and pans, and then you just pick up your food once a week.
And how much food do you get? How many meals worth?
It's enough to feed. For my family, we don't eat a lot of big portions of things, so it's enough to feed all of us multiple little
people?
Bits of meal, and that's four of us.
Four of
you. It's designed for 2 to 4.
Okay.
And so you get an entree, a large size entree that can feed 2 to 4 people. You get a quart of soup. You get 2 quarts of either salad or a salad and a side. You get some kind of condiment or fermented product, and you get some healthy desserts. So it's... we don't use any refined sugars or oils, and it's gluten-free. And, you know, I'm not gluten-free. I don't think that I encourage a gluten-free lifestyle, but I think that there's enough people in the world that in the last two jobs I've had to deal with lots and lots of dietary issues and having to cook two different versions of everything. And so I've just decided that I like that aspect of the business, because in all these other food ordering situations that there are, there's not like a straight gluten-free option on all those things. So it's nice to keep it that way. So I'm going to continue with that that model.
And when you say community-supported kitchen, we all immediately think of community-supported agriculture. So does it work in the same way in that you pay a certain amount each week?
Yes, it is.
And so how much do you sign up for in advance?
It's $25 for a membership fee, and that covers administrative fees, and you get a nice three-leaves logoed insulated bag and a set of mason jars. We try to make it as sustainable as possible, so we're using reusable mason jars for our shares. And the entrees are served in these recyclable paperboard things that can go right into the oven. And so that's $80 for a share of food. And then we also have a pantry that's open to the public. So if you didn't order a share that week and you just want to like go by and pick up a couple of salads, or you know, we make a bunch of additional add-on items like chicken salad, egg salad, tuna salad, nut butters, sauerkraut, all these additional things that are... They're just in the refrigerators there, and you can go by and check it out. And we make extra soup every week so that we can put soup in the freezer so that people that really like soup can just come
get extra,
you know,
soup.
Get an extra soup. And we have a, you know, buy four, get one free kind of deal on that. So for $20, you can get, you know, 5 pints of soup that can go in your freezer, and you can pull them out as you need them.
And then do you have to be a member to shop there?
You don't. Not to walk into the store to do the a la carte shopping. You don't have to be a member. Anybody's welcome. And the hours are from, on Wednesdays from 3 to 6, and on Thursdays from 11 to 2. So I run around on Sundays to farms and farmers markets and do all the shopping, and then we just cook Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and package everything and and get it all ready to open the store at 3.
Do people come to the store and pick up their product?
Yes. So it's all pickup right now. We may do delivery or kind of a hub delivery system, but it's kind of nice. It's you know, I've talked to a lot of farmers that do CSAs and you know, that whole community aspect of like people coming in and so like this past week was my first week there. I just took over this week. And so I heated up some fresh, you know, immune boosting bone broth that we had just made and served cups of broth to everybody walking in the door and like told them cold season's coming up and start drinking their broth. And
yes.
And so it's, I like it when people come to the store, and so it, and there's opportunity to pick up the extra things that you might need. And we're going to expand that too. You can get Bella Rosa coffee there right now. And we're going to and we make granola, and people can grab that extra with their food. And so there wouldn't be that opportunity if we did a delivery system.
Right.
It'd be a little challenging.
Right. And so, but right now, just the 2 days are just Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes.
Okay. So the people who, I'm just thinking of the people who want, who never plan ahead.
Right.
So they have, you know, they've only, you've only got Wednesday and Thursday to be spontaneous for now.
Exactly. Well, if you go to our website and sign up for our email list, we do we do some email blasts, and if you we're on Facebook as well, so we try to remind people on a regular basis. Like if you're on our email list and you're one of our members, we send out the menu on Friday morning, so you know what's available for the next week. And then one or two reminders over the weekend, because the cutoff is Sunday at midnight. So there's still time to get on there and order right
now.
So
you order by Sunday at midnight.
Yes.
Do you get a choice of things to choose?
Not for the share. But what you can do is if, let's say there's chicken on the menu or some kind of meat as the main entree and you're a vegetarian, you can switch it out when you get there. So if you'd rather have fish when you get there, then we make extra entrees of different varieties. So this week we're doing turkey meatballs and like a house-made hoisin sauce. And if you wanted something different, then you would come in and say, oh, I'd rather have the cornmeal crusted cod with tomatillo salsa or whatever we're doing with that this week. So
What soup are you doing?
Soup this week is a curry cauliflower. I got some beautiful cauliflower from Laguna Farms.
Oh, yeah, they have really nice cauliflower.
Yeah, it's like purple tinge. Purple. I almost don't want to cook it in a soup because it's so pretty. But
have you had from Ma and Pa's Garden. Have you had their cheddar cauliflower? Yeah. I just think that's phenomenal.
It would make a pretty soup too.
Yeah, it's so
there's gonna be lots
beautiful.
Of turmeric and stuff in there, so it'll be a good soup.
Very, very healthy.
So I kind of do themes. Like last week was kind of more Moroccan theme with the menu.
Tell us what was on the menu because I love Moroccan food.
Me too.
Last week I did a marinated, like a half a chicken you would get. Mm-hmm. And it had a preserved Meyer lemon and olive sauce on top. And then roasted vegetables with a little bit of a pomegranate glaze on them. Mm-hmm. And then I did a harissa as a side condiment. And I did... I did a roasted squash and kale salad and a lentils with pickled beets and onions salad, and the dessert was a ginger molasses cookie.
Ginger molasses cookie.
They're really good.
They're going to be in my my ginger molasses cookies will be in my column on Wednesday.
Are you going to bring some to the fair?
My plan is the only way I'm bringing cookies to the fair is if Tuesday doesn't go well. Because about a week ago, I reached my limit of political discussion.
Mm-hmm.
No more. And my response to everything now is cookies. Eat more cookies. Make cookies. Go adopt an animal and name that animal Cookie. So I have promised that if things do not go happily, I'm going to make lots and lots of cookies.
I'll double down on that.
And I'll say if things go well, I'm going to make cookies to celebrate.
Okay, there you go. There you go. Well, I needed to do...
We need cookies.
I needed a reason to get out of bed. And so it's like making cookies. But I'm probably... I've got to decide by tomorrow morning. I have a history of taking foods to my poll workers. I love going to the polls to vote.
Oh, I never thought of taking cookies, but what a good
idea. I've never taken cookies before. What I've done, there were a few years, and I worked on the Dukakis campaign really hard. I had a whole phone bank at my house, and it was a very, very stormy day. And I took, I called it election soup. It was a potato cheddar soup with, I think, chorizo in it, some kind of sausage, with hot French bread. So I took it down to them at lunch. And then I think that was the year that I did do cookies. I made Kitty do cookies. And they were a Greek cookie, of course, but with dried oregano in it.
Right.
And then I know the last presidential election, I did pozole.
Yeah.
And I just have to decide, I've got to check the weather and decide if I'm going to make a soup or if I'm going to make cookies for the poll workers this year.
That's a good idea. I want to be there the minute they open, so maybe I'll bring muffins.
There you go. I just think I so admire poll workers. And the last presidential election, there was a really young woman, because often, they're like 85 or 90.
Right, sure.
And they're not bringing in a lot of younger people, but there was this very young woman. I was so pleased that she was doing that. And I'm seeing at the polls, I'm seeing more younger workers. And it's just, to me, it makes democracy so manifest when you're actually there doing that sort of thing. So I like to make them feel good. I really like to, and I take the dogs, and that's okay with them. They don't mind it. They actually like it. The dogs like to say hi to everybody.
They go into the booth with you.
Sure.
Yeah.
They, of course, they follow me everywhere, but they like to say hi to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think on that note, we should play my election song. You might recognize this. It's by Nick Lowe.
Down. Well, I'm here to tell you. though he was just a boy when he made that vow. I bet it all that he knows by now. All men are liars.
Their words ain't worth no more than worn out tires.
Hey girls,
girls,
bring rusty pliers to pull this tooth.
All men are liars,
and that's the truth. A man must be the most slimy and slippery now. There stands the naked ape in a monkey's suit. Behind the little mustache he grew the shifty brute. Joking on the words they ate, a sweating on getting it started straight. All men,
all men,
all men are liars.
Their words ain't worth no more than worn out tires.
Hey girls,
girls,
bring rusty pliers to pull this tooth.
All men are liars,
and that's the truth. All men,
yeah. All men.
To pull this tooth.
All men are liars,
and all men are liars.
All men are liars,
all men are liars, and that's the truth.
Okay, y'all know who's that? Who that is dedicated to? The presidential candidate whose name I dare not speak. Decided I'm taking a moratorium. I won't speak it again. And speaking of voting, you know you have to do that, right? If you haven't done it already, just vote.
And you know you have to. At this point, you have to go and vote at the polling place. You cannot text your vote in. You cannot call your vote in. Yeah. You must go.
Well, you can
to
stop. You can stop by the courthouse.
Yes, you can do it early.
Yeah,
you have to physically turn
right,
in a ballot.
You have to physically do it.
Right.
You have to. And, you know, if you have an absentee ballot and you don't take it to the courthouse, you drop it off at a polling place, you can really delay the count. You can delay the count. If enough people do that, you can delay the final count up to 30 days. So take your, if you have absentee that you haven't mailed, just drive it up to the courthouse in Santa Rosa tomorrow, or if something happens on you're worried something's going to happen on Tuesday, just go vote. They they have, I think, last time I was there, they had three booths set up. I'm going to my polling place, obviously. I've already talked about that. But you don't have to. Just do it. Just do it. I feel like this is the most crucial election of my lifetime. I think a lot of us feel that way. But hey, let's talk about cookies. Did you make you? Have, there's something that looks like a cookie, but I think it's a cracker,
it's a
sitting
cracker.
In front of
and
me.
I didn't actually make the crackers. It's just a vessel for what we did make, which is a sunflower. It's designed to be like Nutella, but we call it Suntella because it has sunflower seeds at the base.
Ah, instead of hazelnuts.
Instead of hazelnuts.
And you know, really Nutella good. Is such a thing,
yeah.
Especially in Europe.
It's good, but the if you look up the original Nutella recipe versus what they are doing today,
now, there's
it's
a lot of
not,
much better.
It's a long
hazelnut
list
chocolate
of ingredients.
Yeah, there's a lot of palm oil and a lot of like sugar. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like not terribly healthy ingredients in commercial Nutella. Mm-hmm. So I would look out, either make your own, or you can look out for good either Italian or local versions of like chocolate hazelnut spread. And I'm excited to try this because some people who either can't or don't wish to eat nuts. I know that the sunflower butter thing is a big thing, especially for kids who can't have nuts. So this looks absolutely delicious. It's,
you know,
it's this like nice, gooey, chocolatey spread.
I have never liked Nutella.
Oh, really?
I don't eat it. You know, I don't have a big sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody did make me chocolate brownies once that they put nice salt on, and I liked that. But I've never really cared much for chocolate.
You might like this because it's not very sweet.
Yeah, I like root beer popsicles.
Mm-hmm.
This actually, the taste of sunflowers really comes through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
This is delicious.
Yeah, I like that. That is. I thought I was going to have to be polite and choke it down. But that flavor of sunflowers is very appealing. And what's the chocolate that's in it?
It's just cacao. Powder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And honey and vanilla. And that's pretty much
this would
it.
Be really nice at breakfast, like for some, if you just like a tiny bit of sweet, but not too much, like this would be, and it would give you lots of protein. Like this is actually like a really nice, this would be a really nice way to start the day.
Keep talking. My mouth is stuck together.
Yeah. So we do two other nut butters as well. We do one that's, it's called Omega, and it has sunflower seeds, almonds, and then it has flax and chia added for the Omega, and then we do another one that has whole dates and walnuts ground up, and we have this super nice stone grinder shipped all the way from India that makes these things. You just put all the stuff in there, leave it for a couple hours, and come back, and it's looks like this.
It's electric? Oh, interesting. I have a sip of water.
So it has, yeah, it has these two stones that go this way, and then the bowl goes this way.
It sounds like a mini olive grinder. You know,
How were the olive oil? How was the olive oil
there
this year?
There was one. Oh,
did you get to try any oleo nuevo?
Yes, I came home with a bottle. So Wild Grove. They're up in Newcastle. And they had a very nice oleo nuevo that I did a demo, and I did my easiest salad in the world ever, which people loved. And it's four ingredients. You know, you put some really good greens in a bowl. You sprinkle the greens with salt. You add some olive oil. You have the spendthrift come in, and that would be me. Put the olive oil on. Then you have the miser come in and put on acid. And I used lemon, because that's what I prefer most of the time, unless I'm going to tie in a vinegar to what's been in the main dish, main course, and I'd sell it after. And then if you want to get really fancy, you can put in some black pepper. That's it. And I got the greens from the best greens on the planet, which are Earthworker Farm. You have to have Earthworker Farm.
Where
it's
are they?
Phenomenal. I'll tell you about him. They're phenomenal. Anyway, I did that, and I did it with this Wild Grove. I'll let you know. I did it with that oleo nuevo. There were a couple others there that I won't mention their names. I didn't think they were very good. But this one was real. It was a classic oleo nuevo, Italian oleo nuevo. Very lovely. So Earthworker Farms, and you can, if you're interested, anyone can go to my website, the new one, michelleannajordan.com, and just go to audio and look for Farmer George. George Macros, he is, as the crow flies, about 2 miles from the ocean up on Blucher Valley Road in Sebastopol. And one of the things that's really interesting is he's growing microgreens, but he's not growing them in trays with potting soil. He works really hard on his soils. He has an arrangement with a horse farm, so he's making his own compost. And so he's growing, and he's been at it several years now. He's growing microgreens directly in the soil, and he's letting some go to seed so that they're acclimatizing to his particular microclimate. And he has several different mixes. One is called Frida Kahlo. One is called Dr. Seuss. Another is called Mark Twang. And all of those have flowers. He grows 27 different types of edible flowers. So they have edible flowers, and then he has a lot of mizuna, sometimes baby bok choy, sprouts. His buckwheat sprouts are my favorite. He's got lots of sunflower sprouts right now. He didn't have buckwheat sprouts today. And then he's just recently started doing those same mixes, but without the flowers, and they're a lot cheaper. And so it's really nice to mix that. What I did today, because I was giving it away, was mix the two together. And then he's just started a new bitter mix with larger leaves and lots of radicchio.
Oh, nice.
That I like it as a salad, but it's also good to do a quick stir fry or roast a chicken and then just put the chicken on top of these greens. So he only attends right now, he attends two farmers markets. He goes to the one at the Wells Fargo Center in Santa Rosa on Saturdays, and then the one, the Sebastopol Farmers Market on Sundays. And he does have, he does take wholesale orders. And his website is farmergeorge.com. I'm pretty sure that's it. You can always email me. But if you do earthwork or farm, you get somebody somewhere.
When you say microgreens, how big are the leaves?
It varies. A lot of them are like a sage leaf. Some are smaller. Some are a little bit bigger. But he does very small. And he does two, my two favorite things that he does are leek grass and micro cilantro. Oh my God, I could just live on those. They're so good. And he's very, I don't know what other word to use than fastidious. He's so fastidious that he even harvests with porcelain knives so that there won't be any oxidation from stainless steel. He's that careful. And if something happens, and this does happen to me a lot, I'll buy quite a bit and then I'll get a cold. I won't feel like eating greens. 10 days later, They're still
fresh.
Okay.
Yeah, wow.
They're still okay. They're best, of course, right away, but they do last. They do last. And I just think he's, you know, we had a gap in lettuce production in Sonoma County. There were two women, sisters, and they had two sisters' farms, and they grew, and on Martin Lane off of Mill Station Road, they grew the best lettuce I had ever tasted. And they moved away several years ago. And for a while, nobody filled that gap. And then somebody came in, and he hasn't been there for a couple of years. He had really good little gem lettuces, but his season was pretty limited, and now he hasn't been around for a couple of years. And George started, I think George started in 2008 or 2009, so he's really filled.
I think it was 2009.
Okay.
And so I was at the JC when this... A friend of mine was helping him in the beginning.
Okay, yeah.
So, I think it's,
so it's just his greens, I think, have really shifted what's available in Sonoma County. They've really brought it up a notch because some of the people producing just aren't around anymore.
I just brought some beautiful lettuce starts from my local farmer's market, which is the
Windsor
community little market. So I just got some nice lettuce starts, so I'm going to pop those in my community garden plot. And hopefully, I know they'll grow slowly, but I'll hopefully have some good greens all winter.
That's the one thing that I can grow is greens in the winter.
Sure.
I'm going to put some lettuces in, and I have a year-round supply of red sorrel and big leaf French sorrel.
Sure.
So I have a lot of sorrel, and that's really what grows best at my weird little microclimate. But yeah, Farmer George. Let's go back. We don't have that much time left, but let's go back to Three Leaves.
All right.
And I mean, it's such a new business. It's like still cries at night. So I don't know how much you can tell us. With being open just 2 hours a day.
Three hours a day.
I mean, two hours a week. I mean, 2 days a week. God,
yes,
slap my face.
Go.
I didn't even have any wine today. Are you going to be doing anything else, do you think? Are you going to be, say, catering, attending a farmer's market, that sort of thing?
Those kind of things are still being developed. I think one of the things that mistakes people make sometimes is try to do too much.
Too much at once, sure.
And I think that this core concept of what this business does really deserves the attention to kind of grow that. And I think as I grow that, I mean, even though we're only open those three hours, two days a week, it's already a lot of work, the rest of the 6 day work week,
okay,
you know, getting ready for that.
Sure.
And wrapping it up at the end of the week. So I hope to do that. One of the things I really am excited about is that in the 5 years I was with the Ceres Project, I worked with hundreds of teens who are now, you know, a little older, some of them. And so the first guy I hired was one of my former teens he followed me to the hospital as well. And
great.
As soon as this was going, I called him up and I said, are you ready to come with me again? And he said, yeah. And so I'm actually in talks with Ceres about collaborating with them as a career pathway for teens. And there's like an accelerator program called Lyft Economy that could help finance that. And so,
what's that? What's Lyft Economy?
That's what it's called. They're San Francisco based,
I think.
But they I just had a meeting yesterday with one of their people, and so that could, that's what I would want to, the way to grow the business is to bring in more employees. And so,
do you know Worth Our Weight?
Yeah, yeah, I'm really familiar with them.
Yeah, they might have some good people for you as well.
Yeah, yeah, Evelyn's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Evelyn is one of our amazing treasures in Sonoma County.
So that would be how I would grow that business, and then I could do other things.
I see.
I am going to do, you know, when I got this commercial kitchen, I had three people come to me that were already planning to get married next year, and they're like, you have to do my wedding now. So
really?
I'm probably going to do two or three weddings next year.
And will you be making people's Thanksgiving dinner? That's the big question.
Oh, for Thanksgiving, we have a special thing that we do. Like, I don't think that turkey is all that great reheated, and our food is all prepared food. Mm-hmm. So what we've decided to do, and they did it last year as well, is provide sides for everyone. Starting next week on our website, on the shop on our website, we'll have all the sides that we're going to prepare listed, and desserts too, because we're going to do some healthy gluten-free desserts, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, those kinds of things. So people will choose, and anybody can do it. They don't have to be a member to order the sides off the menu for that week. And then we're going to have the sign-up list in the shop as well, where people can let us know, and then we'll cook all those 3 days, and we'll just be open on the
Wednesday
the 23rd.
That's probably something I'd like to write about, so we'll talk a little bit more. I made turkey picadillo last week from two heritage turkeys that I broke down from beak to foot.
Nice.
I broke them down and ground the meat myself, and then made, I think it must have been 30 pounds of turkey picadillo for the Farm Trails Fall
Feast. Is there something about that on your website? It seems like I read about turkey picadillo in the last couple of days.
You know?
When's the Farm Trails Feast?
It was last Saturday night. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you about, because I also made, I have been struggling with my sauerkraut for the first time. And I talked to Sean, formerly of Cirque de Ferments, and because my sauerkraut was getting mushy. I was like, what is going on? It never happened before. And so, but I had promised that I would make sauerkraut for the fall feast. So I made about, gosh, it must have been, it was 15 pounds of cabbage, but it weighed more than 15 pounds once I was done. I did the whey method. And I did three kinds of cabbage, lots of fresh ginger, and then yogurt. Strauss yogurt whey. And that turned out really good. But I'm curious about your sauerkraut. You're making your sauerkraut.
Yeah, we make a few different kinds are going at the same time. So right now we have a traditional one with caraway. And in our refrigerator right now we have a cordito, which is a Salvadorian one, and we have a kimchi in there right now. So, and this week I'll make a new one that'll be ready, you know, a couple weeks from now. But we have, I think I have four crocks now, and I also was just gifted for our opening week with me as an owner a vinegar making crock.
Oh, so wow, cool!
Make some vinegars.
Oh, too, excellent, so. Excellent. Well, I really want to solve this mystery of why my sauerkraut has been going. Well, Sean said, if you don't use too much salt, or if you don't use enough salt, or if you use too much, that could make it soft, or temperature fluctuation. And temperature fluctuation is probably the most likely, because that's the one variable I can't control in my house.
Right.
So, I also have been making sour greens lately, which are really good. The friend who I gave the cookbook to, the little boy.
Jamal.
Kamal. Yeah. Kamal's dad made, I had some of his soured mustard greens. And somebody gave me a lot of bok choy. a lot of very big bok choy. I thought, well, let's see what happens. So I sliced it up, dried it outside in the sun, wilted it, and put in a bunch of like 2-inch strips of green onions. And then just did a brine, poured a brine in and let it sit, and I forgot about it. Supposed to let it sit for 7 days, and I think I let it sit for about 16. It's pretty sour, but it's really good.
Oh, that sounds good. And if you make that this week.
Soup, if you make a soup and have some of any kind of rice dish, especially if you're, you know, coming out of a cold and you're eating congee, country with poached egg and some of those sour greens, and they'll last for weeks and weeks and weeks in the refrigerator.
Yeah,
and they have just a great taste. Eat more vegetables. Having those fermented and soured, I find it just really easy and delicious. And we're almost out of time, so here's what we are going to do. Give your website without the W's.
Okay. It's threeleavesfoods.com.
And that's LEAVES foods.
Yep.
.com. Three Leaves Foods. And what is your address?
It's 2484 West 3rd Street.
2484 West 3rd at the corner of Fulton, and it's a Big Oak shopping center.
That's correct.
A bunch of little businesses in there.
Yeah.
Pet grooming place.
People know it as where the Thai Pot is. In Santa Rosa. So.
Yes.
It's in that shopping center.
Okay. And phone number?
Let's see. I don't know my phone number yet. Is it on
here?
It's actually
not on here.
Okay.
Anyway, nobody uses the phone anymore.
It's on the website. Nobody uses the phone.
Okay. Go to the website.
In the 2 weeks I've been in charge of the phone number, I've gotten 3 phone calls.
Okay, so there you go. thank you so much. And this is a revelation. This what's the name of
Suntella?
It
again?
Suntella.
It's really, really, really good. Thank you for bringing it.
Sure.
Stephanie, we will see you with a bunch of your books and your beautiful astrological vintage cocktail display on Thursday.
At the book fair.
The first annual West Sonoma Book Fair taking place November 10th, 6 to 9 p.m. Bring money to buy books from local authors. I will see you there. Have a great week. Meet me back here for another yummy episode of Mouthful Smart Talk about food, wine, and farming in Sonoma County and beyond. Have a great week, and don't boo. Vote.